Hello, parents. Welcome to today's episode. We are back with Emily Jones from Family Tech University, a company she created to help us as parents help our kids and our teens and young adults develop their own structure around electronics and cell phone usage. Today, we are talking about how to engage their internal filter and also how to model good behavior or a good boundaries with our phones. Parents, again, I say this all the time, but it really does begin with us. Enjoy the information Emily has with us. Enjoy so much. Hello and welcome to Parenting Post-Wilderness, your guide to parenting struggling teens. I'm your host, Beth Hillman, a mom of five boys, including a post-wilderness teen and a life coach for parents. I will guide you on how to influence lasting change by first understanding the relationship-changing power of focusing on your own behavior instead of futile attempts to control your teens. Parents, the change begins with us. Meet your kids where they're at, right?
Yes.
It's not like so black and white. It's not like yes. You get it all the time. Just kidding. You never get it.
I'm taking all of this away.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a stepping. I love that. So maybe and just try an hour.
It must be collaborative in nature. Yeah. You know, there are very few, most teenagers, surprisingly, are aware that they're a little bit too immersed in it a lot of the time. They
Absolutely.
Really are. They really are. And so when a parent approaches with a posture of understanding genuine concern for the well-being of the child and seeks to do so collaboratively, will you sit with me? Will you make a plan with me? There are very few teenagers that will reject that kind of an approach.
It's especially or only if you've made that previous connection and come with an understanding heart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, there are so many things, Beth, that can be done to nurture this internal filter that I speak of with our children. But one particularly powerful method that I would just share is something that we have have had all of our children do, and we call it the story of my life experience. And it is an attempt to foster life vision within the child. Their exploration of their own vision for the story of their life, the story they want to tell. And so what we do is, you know, we, of course, through Family Tech University, our platform that we operate off of, we offer a course that seeks to instill and nurture this internal filter with young people. And this online course, the crowning experience with that course is called The Story of My Life Experience. And this is something that without having the course, a parent can do in their home. And what we do is we invite the child to answer a number of questions about their own vision for the story of their life and to record their answers to these questions. And these questions might be something to this effect. What do you hope that your friendships will be like with your peers? What do you most hope for in your relationships with family members? What are your dreams post high school for what you want to pursue in this life? What are your interests? What things fascinate you? What things do you most want to learn about? What are your dreams with regard to the adventures that you hope to have in your life? What places do you want to see? What adventures or experiences do you want to have? And this line of questioning seeks to open the child's mind to what is the story I would like to tell with my life? When someone writes my obituary, what will it say about me? Where did I spend my time? What things did I invest in? And when my life is said and done in this life, what is my vision for the person I hope to become? So the child will record answers to these questions. And then the real magic happens when we ask them to make either a sound or a sound video recording of themselves explaining their vision for the story of their life. And this is recorded. And so not only do they write it, but they're saying it, they're testifying of it, they're expressing this dream. What are these dreams? And the crowning question then, after this experience, is how do my current technology habits hurt or harm this vision that is mine for the story of my life? My current habits with technology, do they support my dreams? Do they support my vision for what I want to become? And this experience, perhaps above all others, cultivates looking beyond the immediacy of the day, the immediate draw of social media or that game, into if I practice technology in the way I'm doing right now, every day of my life, will it lead to what I want, to what I seek? It is transformative. And when a parent can connect with that child, what kind of technology habits do you want to set now that will lead you to what you want? It changes everything, because then the child owns it. I am stepping away from technology to go on a run every day because it's going to get my body into shape for what I want to do. Or I'm stepping away from this because I want to have a great marriage one day. I want to have great friendships and great memories with my friends one day. It's not because mom's ragging on me. It's because I want it. It's mine.
Yeah. I love that idea. It's so hard as parents because I think a lot of times, well, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons, but we're busy. We have our own walls and defenses and pains and hurts and traumas. And sometimes we just want our kids to freaking listen. Just don't want to have to spend the time to help you turn on your engine, your internal engine.
Yeah.
Just you to just do it and, or stop doing it. Right. And I know that there's, cause that is how I am sometimes, of course. And it's how I was sometimes, is that, that this could be so worth our time as parents to make time for this. And it is, I like to call this what do I call it? I totally just slipped my mind, but basically the long road of parenting, right? There's all these sort of shortcuts that I think our brains are, because we're impatient people. And you know, America's a little fast paced, might I offer.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes difficult to take the time that you're suggesting. But if we really want the buy-in from our children, whether they're teens or young adults, if we want their buy-in, which is 99% of motivation anyway, then what if we did take a breath, and what if we did take the time to write out some of those questions and do it as a family, you know, and just be like, wow, you know, maybe we don't do this at all, or maybe we've never done this as a family, but what if we did? What if we sat down and we all did it together, including the parents modeling, right? And really discovered what it is we're really after, and do that self-reflection and become self-aware. I know that one of my kiddos, when he wanted to quit something, it was nothing I could say or do would have helped with that. That's not true, because of course we were helping and influencing. But in the end, it was, you know, he couldn't breathe when he ran. He was smoking. And so he was just so freaking sick of being a 20-year-old who couldn't outrun, you know, his mom or his parents.
Yeah.
And so that was his own internal system, had an experience, was allowed to have that experience, and then was like, forget this. And stopped. And there was no other thing I could have said or did to make him actually push over that line of, of, you know, wanting to quit and then quitting. And I think the same thing with gaming. We had one of our sons was pretty addicted, interesting, to Smash Brothers. He would go and contests and win and college and just constantly playing. But he actually was paying for his own college, which I feel like was the right move for our family. And then he would get, you know, little not so good grades and he'd be mad at himself. And so he was able to, again, have that experience, and his own intelligence said, hey, you know, there's a time to be playing this and there's a time to not be playing this. And I think that idea of one, taking time to sit down with your family and help your kids see what it is they want, and to just take a breath as parents and witness creating and create a space to see what your kids want for themselves. I mean, that is huge. It's such a good idea. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, it really is. And I think your example is a really perfect illustration of this whole concept of us as parents, as that we are gardeners. That really, you know, you have a plant that's growing. There is no amount of action that I can take on my part as a parent to, or a gardener, to force that flower to take up the nutrients I offer, to take up the sun that's offered, to take in the water, all of those things. That process of growth rests with the plant. That process of taking it up and becoming really does rest with the plant. Now the environment, I love that your child had an awareness of the parent's position. And when we're dealing with technology, I think this concept of wanting our children to develop their own strength that way in no way hinders that parent from setting up those boundaries. And that's the real trick right there, is that gradual approach and really offering that gradual guidance along the way, where we can help them in this gradual way adapt to and develop the strength for those technologies specifically. In fact, on our website, Family Tech University, we offer a free download that the title of it is How to Grant Technology to Young People Without Regret. And basically, it is a step-by-step approach for how we, in a staged way, introduce these technologies, not moving on from the previous stage until there is demonstrated capacity for what they have. And also having the courage to step back when that capacity has not been attained.
Yeah.
And I think that when we have a plan as a parent, we know where we're headed. We have a step-by-step plan. We know that we can step back a stage if that capacity is not there yet. It brings a lot of peace.
Yeah. I love that you just said that. Something that I find within myself as a parent, and I absolutely see in my clients, is sometimes there's a little gap. Let's say gap. Let's say I start to try and understand and connect with my child, right? I'm trying to see them through eyes of love, right? Love and compassion. I'm watching them play. I'm trying to step down from fear and lean into understanding. And I'm working through that. And then there's just like this moment. I'm trying to describe like a feeling that I know I've had. There's this moment of, okay, now what? Now what do I do?
Yeah.
And so what I hear you saying is, on this Family Tech University, is there, you actually have a plan, you have some suggested ideas, because I think there's this idea that, and I know so many of my clients, it's like, okay, so I feel like I'm mostly out of fear too, as much as they can. And I'm in this place of love and understanding, and okay, so now what do I do? how do I do this again?
Yeah.
And I know I've been there with like of course, with substances, with gaming, even with sleep, with like my young kiddo. Yes. It's like, okay, I know he's waking up not to drive me crazy. I know he's not doing it on purpose now. I realize that he's scared or whatever, but like I need actual tools to just like give me a plan. So what I hear you saying is on Family Tech University, there's even a plan?
Yes, there is a plan. And so, you know, we offer, of course, that free download, which mainly deals with the gradual granting of technology. How do I gradually introduce these platforms to my child in a way that they are prepared to deal with them wisely? However, the bread and butter, the most powerful tool that we offer through Family Tech University is called the Internal Filter Workshop. And what it is an 8-module course for young people ages 12 and up. And I can share some of the kind of the mode of operation of this program so that a parent can employ some of these things in their own home. But basically, the intent of the program through these 8 modules, people all over the world are using this as a means to educate their young people on how to use technology wisely and why they would want to from their own volition. And so each of the modules addresses particular areas of concern for parents. So for instance, there is a module on social media. There's a module on the dangers of pornography. There's one on the importance of seeking stillness and finding balance with technology in everyday life. There is one on smartphone etiquette, meaning how do I use this device in public in a way that keeps me human?
Please, can we all let's share that with all the people on the planet?
Yeah, that's right. And so each of these modules seeks to first provide wisdom to the child through curated videos, powerful articles, new studies that appeal to teenagers. And the idea or the way that it operates is this concept of first presenting the child with wisdom, with data, with powerful materials that motivate, and then seeking to ask them to express opinions on what they have considered.
Yes.
So I'll just give you an example. And the way that this emerged, our 12-year-old son, of course, was asking for a phone. And so I was kind of researching and looking for powerful materials that he could consume on his own to gain his own wisdom. The idea is that we want our children to develop owned opinions. Yeah. I believe this about how social media should be used in my life because of what I have learned. That's the aim. It's not mom's going to turn this off, which we need to do often. We do need to turn it off as they develop this. But the aim is that we present the child with research, with powerful, motivating materials where they consume it and say, gosh, I think I kind of want to avoid this for my own happiness. And so the pattern is they consume a piece of wisdom, a good piece of wisdom. So our son, when he was at that age and I was sort of curating these materials to create this course for just our own children, that was the intent. I came across a special by 60 Minutes that was sort of an exposure of social media companies and the algorithms that they use to keep us online for as long as possible. Yeah. And so I found this probably 8-minute video about really behind the scenes how these companies were seeking to keep young people online for as long as possible. Right. And I was so disturbed by it that I got my teenager and I said, what do you think about this? Watch this. What do you think? And he watched it and I was surprised by how visceral his reaction was. He said he was angry.
I bet.
He was like, I cannot believe what they are doing to us, knowing it's bad for us, to line their own pocketbooks. And he was mad.
Yep.
And interestingly, that son has a very suspicious relationship now with social media, manages it well, but is very suspicious and he understands the guts of what's going on behind the scenes. And that is when the light bulb went up for me about this pattern of learning. We present them with truth. We ask their opinion about it. This is the development of an owned opinion. This is my opinion, the child's opinion, not my parents. This becomes theirs. Another example, there's a video in this course that we offer, the Internal Filter Workshop, on texting while driving. And it's a news story about a boy, bless him, amazing teenager, super involved, and he, through one brief moment of not being wise, elected to text while driving, and his actions resulted in the death of two people in a car accident. And this boy is sharing this experience. And I'll tell you what, there's not a dry eye, even amongst teenagers, when they watch this, this video. And there is a personal convincing that goes on when a young person consumes something like that and offers an opinion, there is new resolve to be wise. Yeah. And so through this program that we offer, we hope to present the young person with wisdom, with the facts, and then they actually participate in an online journal that they know is going to be emailed to the parent about what they're learning through this program. And so this creates an interactive experience with the parent and the child, where they can have discussions about these points, where the child is given opportunity to share the things that they're absorbing. And when you ask, you know, what's the plan? How, what, now what? Like you said, this program also includes what we call My Tech Plan, which is a massive upgrade to your typical cell phone contract that we like to have our kids sign. Yeah. And it's basically a combination of some rules, basic rules that the parent will set as rules for the household regarding that piece of technology. But the bulk of it is the child's own goals that they want to set, their own rules that they want to put into place for the wise use of technology. And it's that collaborative approach, the presenting of wisdom, discussions with the parent, and putting together a collaborative plan that really holds the power, because we're engaging the child to be involved in this process of decision making with technology. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. The collaboration, I think, is the key word there. And I know that's what you're expressing is, we cannot leave them to their own, you know, devices, no pun intended.
No.
And we also can't entirely manage it. It mm-hmm. is a collaboration. It's, working with and modeling that I keep coming up with that word that you mentioned. It is about modeling. You know what you said about, I think part of the training that you provide, the courses, you mentioned that there's a video of this boy who, you know, texted and drove. And I think kids are made, to see that kind of thing. I think that's pretty common, you know, but what I love about what you're saying about your course is it's let's discuss what that brings up for you. Let's talk about it together. I'm going to share my feelings, and I'd invite you to share your feelings and thoughts about that. And really, you know, it's not a scare tactic. It's a, let's try to feel into this story and possibly what can we take away from it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I want to know how you're feeling, because I think some kids will be like, well, that's not going to happen to me. I mean, I think that's what the brain tells us, even adults. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm guessing 100% of adults text and drive. Not 100, but, you know, 99.99 at some point. Mm-hmm. Even though we know better, all the humans know better. It's that mm-hmm. idea of choosing, I think, again and again, and applying what we actually know, that common sense of course we're not everybody knows they're not supposed to text and drive, but everybody does it. So, mm-hmm. and of course some more than others. So I think, how can we really embody that make it a part of us. And I love that it's so interactive. I think that's the key there with the courses, is that you encourage, and, you know, the kids have to be filling, not have to, but are encouraged to fill that out. And then we're sending it to the parents and to really take time to discuss all the feelings that come up. Because I think one of the thoughts is, that's not going to happen to me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's really, really true. There is a sense of invincibility that comes with that age group in particular. It's so true. And I think also, you know, you study the research about brain development with teenagers, and there is a disconnect at times between the emotional part of the brain and the logical thinking part of the brain, much more of a disconnect than with adults. Yeah. And I think that's wherein this kind of gradual approach, gradual introduction to technology is so crucial. When we're in a moment of connectivity between the logical brain and emotion, and we can watch these kind of videos and do some kind of a role play. Okay. What am I going to do when I'm in this situation with technology? When I sit down in my car, what is my plan for making sure that I'm not distracted by my phone when I drive? Well, I think I'm going to put my phone on silent, throw it in the back seat. Or, you know, making a plan when there's that connectivity between logic and wisdom and emotion, so that we preempt these experiences. Yeah. We preempt these kind of experiences. This is why we talk to a 7-year-old about pornography online. What are you going to do when you encounter this? We make a plan. We role play, because then in the emotion of the moment, when something's very appealing, I'm all alone, I've encountered something, I've got something in my head. And when there is a mistake, and there most certainly will be, we reset, we reteach, we reset parameters, and we have the courage to back up access, to back up the situations that might be too overwhelming for the cognitive development of that child at that stage of life. Ugh. And that's how we roll.
Yeah, I love that idea of role play. I think it's something that I'm just actually starting to get into. I think I mentioned this on my last podcast, actually. My kiddo, my younger one, threw a rock at a carpool. Oh boy. And, he was very upset with himself. He was very upset at the people who tattled. And we came home, and of course, through the course of me loving on him and telling him that we all make mistakes and all that, I said, and he's like, I don't want to go to school. And so I said, let's role play what you think people are going to say and do. And so we talked through what you could say to the principal if she comes to you again, and what could you say to the friends if they bring it up, and what you could say to your teachers. And we talked about different options and what he thought was more comfortable. And honestly, that's one of the first times I've done it. And it was so helpful for this kid, because he felt like he had options, right? Because his only option was, I'm not going. I'm not going to school. Like, I can't face that. I'm like, okay, let's work through that. So I love that you said that, because I'm just starting to kind of play around with that. And I think the other thing is as parents, and I speak for myself, I think this is pretty common, but I parent like, well, I don't want to bring that up. I don't want to bring porn up to my 7-year-old, because then I'm going to have to do all this explaining. And what if I introduce it to him? And and that kind of thing. I had a nurse, you know, we have 5 boys. So, years ago, when the older boys were like in high school, I had a nurse friend who's like, you know, how do you talk to kids about porn? I'm like, oh, we talked to them a while back. I don't talk to them anymore. And she's like, what? And I'm like, they haven't seen it, or they would tell me. And she's like, Beth, you are in the dark. They have seen it. They are watching it. And you have to bring it up, or they won't feel safe. And I was like, no, they haven't. And she's like, I will bet you money. I will put money right down. I was like, okay. And so I talked to my oldest, and luckily I came with a very loving approach. And I said, so how often do you look? And he's like, what? Oh, what? And he was then willing to, he was like, yeah, there's, you know, here's what's happened, and here's what I've done about it. And he had actually made some moves on his own, but to try not to see it. But it was really interesting, because my fear of quote, introducing the topic was, well, to be a little ridiculous, but that's what my brain gave me. And I think it's very, very common.
Oh, yes.
You know, I don't want to bring up porn. I don't want to bring up, maybe let's start turning your phone off at night. Maybe let's turn it off if it's been on all night. Let's maybe turn it off between 12 and 5, you know, some kind of an offer, or 1 in 5, just that little steps. But also realizing as a parent, like, of course you're afraid. Of course you don't want to poke the bear. Of course, you know, we're afraid of our children's reactions. Of course we are, because we don't like to feel upset. And sometimes our children are really having a hard time and we don't feel any connection to them. So we don't feel like we can say anything. So I just really get it. And maybe there's some space to maybe lean into this a little bit and to see, I wonder what small changes we could make in our routine. How can I start this collaboration with my teen or young adult, or even little person? How can I start? I think sometimes it's, you know, that just back to that, it's too late. Just recognizing it's never too late. And how can I start collaborating just a little bit right now? How could I start?
Beautiful. That's a great question. So I would love to return to an idea that we have talked about several times during this interview. And one is, and this might be surprising to most parents, before we even begin that collaborative approach and that seeking to understand, we must begin with looking in the mirror at our own technology behavior.
Yes, the modeling. Thank you.
Yes. Yep. It is. It's really true. And my husband and I actually had an experience that might make people's hands sweat when they first hear about or even consider doing this.
Oh, I can't wait.
But we created what we call the look in the mirror experience for us as parents. I think we as parents catch ourselves in our hypocrisy continually with technology, because out of one side of my mouth, I'm saying, you're on that too much. You know, can we cut back? And then on the other side, I've got my phone in hand and it's maybe attached to me sometimes. And so we actually formally had a little questionnaire that we handed to each of our children. And very scary. We started out very innocuously with just, hey, what's your favorite thing to do with mom? What's your favorite thing to do with dad? They filled one out for each parent. And, you know, what do you like to do with us? What are, you know, those kind of things. But then we got into, have you ever felt ignored by your parent, by mom, because of technology? And how does it make you feel? And if you were the parent, what is one technology rule that you would impose to make our house a happier place with technology? If you are the parent, what would you do? What kind of rules would you set so that our family can have a great relationship with one another, uninhibited by technology? What kinds of things do you think dad is doing great with technology? How do you think he can improve? Again, makes parents' hands sweat to even think about it. But it was so transformative, Beth, for our, if you can hand it to the child, strip away your pride and let the child know, I'm not going to be mad at you. Be honest here. It sends quite a message to a child to see a parent trying to manage themselves with technology, to see the parent making an effort. And so if I delete a time-wasting app off of my phone, I'm gonna be very obvious about it with my kids. Hey, I'm deleting this. I don't like what this is doing to my life. Or when that child walks in from school, hey, I'm plugging in. Tell me all about the day. Tell me all about your day. We can model our own self-management. And in the same breath, we can express and show our children how much they matter to us, that we value relationships enough to try to curb the influence of technology in the ways that it might be taking away. And so when we talk again about being the gardeners as parents, we can demonstrate for our children I may not be able to control all of your little behaviors or all those kinds of things, and I'm not going to attempt to do that, but I can control me. I can show you that I'm happier when I manage this well, that I am plugging this in a different room than my bedroom at night. These are the things I'm doing to manage this. Go so far, Beth, in managing these things. The modeling that you have talked about throughout this whole podcast is maybe the most powerful thing a parent can do. And we have control of that part.
Yes, we sure do.
That part we can manage with all of the feelings of lack of control, feeling vulnerable, feeling like we can't control some of these behaviors. That's the one piece we can do.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It has to start with us. It just does. I know I say that a lot, but I truly believe I'm like, we are the adults. We have a little bit more developed, you know, frontal lobe. We have more experience, and that doesn't mean we pontificate our vast knowledge on our children. It means that we can control ourselves more. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. And we can model. And oh my gosh, I feel like that continues to be my number one goal, is to model self-reflection, to model self-regulation, to model emotional maturity. To model. That does not mean I am perfect, I have to say. I am modeling my humanness as well, yeah. Right? I have to say that. It is all about modeling the humanness of, I make mistakes and then I try again, try again, try again kind of thing. I know that when I get extremely anxious, which I can, and very stressed, if I will step away from my phone, and it is night and day. And if I can do that for an extended amount of time, sometimes my husband's like, why don't you take your phone on walks? And I'm like, because it's my only break. I have to disappear in a healthy way. And I'm going to leave it on the counter. I will be back. But even creating experiences where I know of a family, not mine, but a family who the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, they have no cell phone day, because it's with like, they're with their extended family and they're playing and there's so much to do. And it is optional, which I think is lovely. And they just to have a box and they just ask, would everyone be willing, or whoever is willing, let's just hang up our phones for as long as you can. And they put them in their box and they just enjoy each other. They go hiking, they have dinner, they play games, they play music. And at the end of the day, it's like, pick it up when you need to. And I think invitation, I think, is key. We don't want to be forcing that. But those moments of disappearing in the woods with your family and creating just moments of time together without those distractions. And of course, in our homes as well, trying to figure out, you know, when can we take that? Can we just give our brains, our nervous systems, and our hearts just some peace and presence?
Yes. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you so much for bringing up the modeling. We just do the best we can, but yeah.
Love it.
Thank you so much for being with me today, with us today. And please tell, we'll have it in the show notes, but just give a little rundown. Where can we find you?
Yes. So we can be found at Family Tech University on Instagram, Family Tech University on Facebook as well. And then our website is familytechuniversity.com. That's where you can find us.
Love it. Love it. And your courses are available through your website and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely. Oh.
I think that's amazing. I'm super excited for my audience and myself to learn from you more. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Beth.
Okay, bye everybody. Hey there. Thank you for joining me today. If you know a struggling parent, please share this with them. If you have any questions or want to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Beth Hillman Coaching or through my website, BethHillmanCoaching.com. And remember, parents, the change begins with us.